It's because of who? It's because of God. Amen. Let's all go ahead and sing that again. Everybody said a rip. Let it rip.
So well, with our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise to God. With our lungs, so we pour out our praise to God. So well, with our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour our praise to your name, in our mouths, so we pour our praise to
you. There you go.
Shall our lives, our hearts will cry, these worlds will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout in praise. My heart will cry, Lord, will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Come on, yes.
All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will shout your praise and sing.
Great are you,
Lord. Your breath is our lungs, so we pour out our praise.
Glory! 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 Give Lord a hand clap of praise. I got a Bible around here somewhere. Where did, oh, there it is. There it went. It was awesome. Yeah. Remember I told you last week and we'll have to finish up after camp meeting. Not camp meeting, after homecoming. Wow. You see where I want to be right now in a camp meeting. Isn't that cool? Okay. Turn to the book of Philippians. Have you ever got anybody just got on your last nerve? Do not point at them. Do not look to the left. Do not look to the right. Just say it. Look at me straight in the eye. Look me straight in the eye. Have you ever had anybody just got on your nerves? I know I've got on his nerves. Amen. Yeah, way too easy. That was low-hanging fruit. Amen. God is awesome. I forgot to change this thing. Let's see here. Let's get it going here. It's got to be here somewhere. All right. All right. There we go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And of course, that was low-hanging fruit, I have to admit. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Y'all stand for the reading of the word. Because I'm going to say, get ready. Watch your toes. Matter of fact, I want you to keep your toes in the vehicle throughout this message. Ready? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that we can do nothing apart from you, God, but with you we can do all things. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint. I ask you right now, God, to make the difference in our lives. I ask you right now, God, to be what you are, and that is our Savior and our crowning King. And I thank you, Father, for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell them, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, I went to Virginia this week, and we went to some mountains, and I call them mountains. Linda told me they were hills, but when you live on flatland all your life, those hills look like mountains to me. Amen. But you know, I had a very strange day. About my third day there, I was walking through the streets of, I can't even name the name of the city. I was way on up there. They're like 5 hours away. And I found a hat full of money on the sidewalk. So I picked it up, and I found myself being chased by an angry man with a guitar. Okay. All right. I know. We'll throw the book away, but I'll just tell you something. You never appreciate what you got until it's gone. Toilet paper is a prime example. That better? All right. Dealing with difficult people. Now, we all have difficult people in our life. Every last one of us has difficult people. And so we're going to start it today and finish it up after homecoming. Homecoming's going to be a different than this one. Amen. You don't get people here on homecoming and teach them or start talking about how to deal with difficult people. That's not a good thing right there at homecoming. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many here know people that remind you of that? Every time they talk, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Remember me telling you about there was one lady at work, I had to hire her in our engineering group as a personal favor to Mr. Fountain. Okay. She got in there and she was always. Sound like a crow. One of the guys in there, one of the engineers in the other engineering department, was a Christian, a good guy. He was even named Paul. So this guy's a good guy. Always a gentleman, always studious, always taking care of business. You never heard a cross word out of him. One day, she walked out, and you could hear the crow going, bah, 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 bah. And he stood up and said, "This water's too wet." Meaning she would complain about anything. We all got a big laugh out of it, but after I got thinking about it, I said, wow. She got on his last nerve. Amen? So, all of us know these people. We all got them. They're in our past. They're even in our present. They're in our future. I promise you, you can't always avoid them, but you can learn how to handle them. How many had classmates that used to aggravate you to death? How many had family members that still aggravate you to death? How many have neighbors that would aggravate you to death? You know, you might get a neighbor next to you playing loud music, and sometimes, I remember on Apostle Trot, we had them playing one time, and they were playing so loud of music, and they were down the path, the music was so loud that it actually rattled. It was on Thanksgiving, it rattled the dishes on our plates. And they weren't just playing regular music, they were playing gangster rap. So there was words coming out I did not want to hear. And I had to walk down and tell them, look, I'm not judging, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just telling you this, our plates are rattling, our turkey's falling off the plate. Do you mind cutting that down a little bit? He said, I was expecting a big blow up, but instead he said, oh, we didn't know we were upsetting you. disturbing you. We'll turn it down. And they did for about 5 minutes. So there's always going to be somebody in your life that just aggravates the snot out of you. There's some people, when they get around, I got to carry a handkerchief. Because I know the snot's going to be running. Amen? So now, watch this now. Get ready. We're going to talk about this. All of us. Oh, I love it. Amen? This water's too wet! All of us can be grumpy and difficult to deal with. Really? Really? Have you ever been grumpy yourself? Have you ever been difficult to deal with? You, not your spouse, not your children, you. Have you ever been difficult to deal with? Now, from time to time, we're going to be encountering folks that they're going to behave in the same way or worse. And so when you deal with these people, and you're going to deal with them on a daily basis, especially if you work with the public, you're going to deal with them, so we're going to talk about how to do it. But first things first. I'm glad I looked first things first. You got to go ahead and get the advertisement out of the way. All right? First things first. Know this. That there's a difference in difficult people and toxic people. Ah, I saw some people setting up. There's some people you call toxic that aren't toxic, and there's some you call difficult. They're toxic. So, what's the difference in a difficult person and a toxic person? Well, let's just talk about it. Difficult person, a toxic person. Let's just go down the difficult list first. The difficult person believes they're always right. I'm right, you're wrong. That's the end of my song. Amen? You ever got anybody like that? No matter what you talk about, no matter what subject you talk about, they know it all. They've been there, they've done that, they bought a t-shirt, and they tell you that I got this, I'm right. And these people have a hard time listening to others. They don't want to hear what you got to say because they got it all figured out. Also, watch this. This is the hard part. A difficult person's calloused to their ways. They don't even realize what's going on. They're so callous and they're so used to doing it. When they step up to the plate, you know, there's people at Fountain, and there's people when I was working at Procter & Gamble that worked for Eastern Omni and worked for Daniels and all those other construction companies. There were certain white hats I knew when I got with them they were going to cause a problem. One time we were going to put a boiler in a paper plant. And so Cincinnati came down and said, you cannot start this boiler in this paper plant, a gas-fired boiler. So we had gas and a boiler in the paper plant. They said, in order for this to go, we got 10 things, the 10 safety checks that's got to go through automatically, and they have to go in sequential order in order for it to light up. And so you don't have it on this boiler, so this is your job. This is your project. When we come back, we want you to have this on there. So I sit down and got my pen out and I got my paper and I saw what they wanted. And so I went through and I put them in and I stuck them in the right place and I had it all drawn up and I went over to Eastern Omni who was doing the work. I got that hard person. I'd always listen to them. Oh, okay. But I sat down for 1 hour, one of the white hats, and they said, this is not the way to do it. This is the way to do it. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, what about it? He wouldn't even let me talk. What about it? And I finally, this is not my way, but because I was in charge of this project, I finally told him, dude, when that man comes, that pressure vessel inspector comes from Cincinnati next week, he's not going to look for you. He's going to look for me. I said, so here's what we're going to do. He said, what are we going to do? The way I said, no. I said, we're not doing anything you said. We can do it the way I said it. He said, but I said, there's no buts. My rear end's in the sling, not yours. My way works. He said, well, it will work. I said, it will work. Your way will not work. He said, well, if you insist. I said, well, I'm the project manager. I insist. He said, and he wouldn't even talk to me for a few days. But guess what? It worked. They were happy. And we started a gas-flamed boiler in a paper plant. So they're so callous to their ways. They don't even realize how they're sounding to you. And then they don't even know. It's hard for them to change. They're not. They are not going to change. If they do, it's going to be very, very, very hard. And they usually don't even realize how they sound. Then there's the toxic people. These are difficult people. I can deal with difficult people. Then there's the toxic. The toxic person, and they can turn toxic. Yeah, they can turn toxic. Now, here's the toxic people. They believe they're right all the time. They have a hard time listening to others, just like before. The difference is the difficult person is calloused to their ways. The toxic person is controlling in their ways. Colleges today are really messing up. They should be teaching our people, they should be teaching our kids how to think, not what to think. How to think, not what to think. I taught my kids how to think. And of course, I was daddy. There were some what to thinks in there too, but I taught them how to think. A controlling person is going to tell you what to think. A toxic person. They don't seek to change their self, they seek to change you. And they know this. They know. They know that they're hurting. They know they cause harm. It does not matter. I got to have my way. If a hair lips the devil and Tom Walker, I got to have it my way. You change, I'm not changing. That's a toxic person. And they're always difficult. Now you say, what kind of scriptures for that one? Get ready. Proverbs 14 and 12. There's a way which seems right to a man and appears to be straight before him. But the end of it is the ways of death. That's a very powerful, powerful scripture. If you haven't been in those categories, any one of those things, I want you, before this day's out, when we can have altar call, I want you to ask God to help you to learn to not be hard and to listen. Because when you listen, good things happen. I remember we were playing basketball. I was coaching basketball. I think I coached it 4 years. And DC finally outgrew the league. And so he became one of my coaches. And I remember when they were playing, I would do this, and the referees just say, I think I was crazy. They run up and down and they go, well, Daddy, I think. And I say, stop thinking, just play the plays. And the referee said, excuse me. I said, I got my team. I say, quit thinking and play the plays. Just do it. Of course, they talked about the new Top Gun movie says the same thing, which that's pretty cool. Stop thinking and play the plays. When DC became a coach, and DC stood beside me, and he said, Daddy, I don't think you're not running this offense right. If we try it this way, we may get a better hold on the ball. And what did I do, DC? I said, Scott, let it rip, Tater Chip, because I wasn't going to be the trouble one or the toxic one. I wanted to listen to what somebody else's eyes were seeing on the field, and we were awesome winners all the time. So now, here's a hard one. Be thankful for the difficult people in your life because they show you what you don't want to be. I'm going to let that one sit for a while. Be thankful for the difficult people in your life, for they have shown you who you don't want to be. You got to realize something. Ready? Difficult people are a part of life. Amen. Listen, you can't always avoid them. They're part of life. Sometimes they're part of your family. Sometimes they're part of your workforce. Sometimes they are your neighbor. Sometimes there are people that you cannot avoid, you cannot push aside. You're going to have to be around them. So, difficult people are a part of life. You cannot always avoid them. And if you don't deal with them correctly, watch this, they're going to sap your energy and they're going to weigh you down. Matter of fact, all you're going to think about is that difficult person. You're going to think about how bad it is and how, man, if I could just get them to think a different way, if I could just get their mind going in the right direction, man, they drive me crazy. And before long, if you're not careful, all your energy's gone, spent on thinking about that difficult person and how to change them. And all your energy is going to be gone because you've been trying to change them. And I promise you, the odds of you changing a toxic person are it changes. I'm always saying, God, please, let me keep believing what I believe in. I learned this a long time ago. Salvation is only by the cross only. That's it. But the vehicle God uses to dispense the cross to the world may change. Think about it. So, I am strong in my beliefs, but I'm bendable on how we get Jesus out to the people. Now watch, if you deal with the people correctly, guess what? Both of you will be bettered. And that's awesome. I'm not going to keep you long today, I promise. But that don't mean anything other than I promise that I won't keep you long. Didn't say how long. I might be difficult today, but I promise I won't be toxic. First thing I want you to do when you're dealing with difficult people is make sure you're not the one being difficult. Woo! Somebody go, woo! That was a good one. Make sure you're not the one being difficult. Sometimes you're blaming everybody else. Y'all heard me tell the story about Grandpa. The children came to visit him, and he had a great big handlebar mustache. And they were going to play a trick on him, so they took some Limburger cheese while he was taking his nap in the bedroom. And they come, and they just put Limburger cheese all over his mustache. I mean, they had his mustache all... all slickered down with that Limburger cheese. He woke up from his nap and said, something stinks in this bedroom. He said, I better go in the living room, get in a chair, get some fresh air. He goes in the living room and goes, sits down and goes, ooh, something stinks in here too. He goes in the kitchen, thinking mom's cooking something bad. Mama weren't cooking anything. He said, man, it stinks in the kitchen. So he goes out in the yard, says, I can get some fresh air. So he goes out in the backyard in the fresh air and goes, it still smells that Limburger cheese. It says, just as I thought, the whole world stunk. It wasn't the whole world. It was his mustache. If I ever come to you and say, check your mustache, that's what I'm talking about. Check your own mustache. Because watch this. This is something. This is amazing. I know this isn't. This might not be shouting material, but this is growing material. This will put your roots down deep. This will help you be a better person, which that's what our whole goal is, to be a better person for God, a better witness for God, a better minister for God, and to be able to relate to people. Because if you can't relate to people, you can't minister to them. So, the problem may have an origin within your own heart, so fix it. Here's the scripture. We just read it, but I'm going to expound on it a little bit. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that each one esteem others better than himself, that each look not only on his own interest, but also on the interest of others. Here we go. Here's another version. Listen carefully. This is an ouchie moment. So I'm going to tell you ahead of time. Here's your ouchie moment for today. Y'all ready? Go ahead and say ouchie right to start with. Good. I'm glad you said ouchie to begin with. So now, if you say it after this, everybody knows everybody's already said it. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Wow. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. That's powerful. You know, sometimes, get ready, sometimes people are mirrors. And when you look in them, they're actually reflecting back to you what you are. I've seen people, I even do this. I tried a trick. I walked down when I used to have Washington Square Mall. I did a trick. I walked down one side of Washington Square Mall and I did like this the whole time I'm walking down this side. I'm smiling and waving. And people would be like this or be, and they'd see me and they'd go. No matter how bad it was, how bad they were feeling, they'd see me come by going. And they would do the same thing. I gave it a few minutes and I walked down the other side, back the other way. And here's what I did. No joke, I went. And some of those people that were in smiling, they start going. You see, sometimes, remember, I'm talking about making sure you're not the one being difficult. Sometimes, a person God uses as a mirror to reflect us to us. We don't like what we see. And it doesn't get any better because they're so busy blaming them, not realizing God just opened up a mirror and that you see yourself. I remember I've heard this story 1,000 times. It's perfect right here. When D.C., we went to Bath, her pastor in Bath, and D.C. would walk, look, D.C. would go. Walk on his toes. And I said, D.C., quit doing that. He'd go, but Dad, it feels good. I said, stop doing that. I said, walk like this. He'd come by and he'd be going. And I say, son, stop this. This has been going on for a couple of weeks. I said, just go. I said, try it. He would go. I turned my back and he'd go. So finally one day, Bittiger Gaines said, look at D.C. Look at him walking. I said, yeah, I've been trying to tell him not to be that way. She said, look, just like your daddy. God was using D.C. as a mirror to show me. Me. Matter of fact, many times God used my kids as a mirror to show me, to introduce me to me. Now, I'm not going too much farther today because I don't want to get way into it, but look. Y'all say, thank God for sandpaper people. Some of y'all said it. Thank God for sandpaper people. All right. Get ready. Don't try to change the other person. People change. Listen to me. People change when they want to, not when you want them to. Unless you're their boss and you can control their paycheck, I promise you, more than likely, people are not going to change when you want them to change. It's got to be when they want to. And here's a little rule of thumb. Three things. People change when, watch, they hurt enough that they have to change. They hurt enough, it's not up here, they hurt enough that they have to change. Hurt, H-U-R-T, hurt. They hurt enough that they have to change. Number two, they learn enough that they want to change. And number three, they receive enough that they're able to change. That's when people change, not when you want them to change. So now, let's keep going. The problem is we don't know how to break them. We don't know where to break them or how much. That's God's job. I don't know how to break you, where to break you, how long to break you, but God does. If I'll back off and give it to God, God can change people. Amen? He can do it. So now, watch this. Just a little bit more. I'm getting close to the end. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. So consider this. When you're around people that aggravate the pure snot out of you, they may be God's sandpaper. Actually, it could be God changing you. Kind of hard for us to see our rough edges. We're so busy looking at everybody else's rough edges. So sometimes God lets the people come in our life Not just to aggravate the snot out of you, but to help you see you. And once you realize, remember, hurt enough you have to change, learn enough that you want to change, receive enough that you can change. Once you get one of those big three, then all of a sudden things change. And you got to realize that person that's aggravating the pure snot out of you could be God's sandpaper. He's sanding off the rough edges on you. Oh, I know just sitting and shouting sermon, and I know, you know, if y'all decide to throw fruit, don't throw canned fruit. Just go ahead and throw natural fruit. I'll eat that. You see, let's do it again. Not in your own strength, for it is God who in all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to do His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. If God don't change you, then it's going to be a temporary change. It's going to be a superficial change. But when God does the changing, and I love it. I cry every time I watch Christmas Carol. And at the end, when he has that great awakening because God showed him, matter of fact, God caused him to hurt enough that he wanted to change. He learned enough that he was able to change. And he received enough that he could do all this. And he goes to the wind and everything starts to, everything has started changing because God showed Scrooge. That's one of the most powerful stories ever written by man. I believe, although it was written by man, it could literally be called the Gospel of the Christmas Carol. Because he went from being one of the hardest men in town to being a second father to Tiny Tim and a father of the whole town. Wow, that's so awesome. Again, be thankful for difficult people in your life, for they have shown you who you don't want to be. Watch this. I love this. Lord, teach me to let go of my plans and follow yours. Yours is a whole lot better. Get ready. Even when we can't see it, God is working things out for the good. Jeremiah 29:11. I love Jeremiah 29:11, period, but especially the Message version because it says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. You could be going through something today that is so devastating. You're going through something today that is just tearing your nerves all to pieces. You may be dealing with people right now that you honestly wish you didn't have to deal with. There's an opening line, and y'all will hear this if you ever come to me and ask me my opinion or ask for anything. You're going to hear this. One of my opening lines when I do couple counseling is, because the first thing is, I can't live with them. I can't. And I go, let me ask you a question. Do you believe God put you together? Simple question. Either you do or you don't. Do you believe God put you together? 99.9% of the time, almost immediately I hear, yes. And then I come back with, well, if God put you together and you believe He did, don't you think God can keep you together? Now, if it's just that simple, everything would be fine. There's a whole lot more to it, but those two questions. Let me ask you a question today. If your faith's being challenged, if your life's being challenged, let me ask you, don't you believe God called you to be His child? Don't go, well, he did, but I haven't. No. Do you believe God called you to be His child. Y'all can all say yes now. Okay. Do you believe that God orchestrates events in your life in order to perfect you for His work? Okay, guess what? The sandpaper's coming. Because God has a different version of you than you got in mind. Now you can say, whoop. Good. God has a whole lot different version of you than you've got in mind. Where you think that you can't be used, He knows you can. Where you think there's nothing you can do, He knows what you can do. You think that I can't do this, He knows you can. You think, well, I don't know how much more I can take, He knows. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man can do unto me. So if God is your helper, and if God arranges events in your life to prepare you, and for you to be able to see Him, I tell guys all the time at Pitt Detention Center, I go, I don't like being here. I can't stand it. And I go, no. I say, I realize that. And I go, well, don't you believe God's got a hand in this now because you're sober and you're getting help and you're learning and you got all this stuff available to you, psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors, lawyers, social workers, a pastoral counselor. You got all this stuff going for you. And they go, yeah, yeah. And I says, so you think maybe, just maybe Jesus came up to you in your worst of times wearing a badge? Usually gets about that silent there too. We got a lot more to go, a lot more to go, a lot more to go. We'll go the week after homecoming. But just take this and hold on to it. Especially Jeremiah 29:11. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. DC, come on up here. Even when you can't see it, God is working things out for our good. How many times have you found yourself in certain situations? You didn't like it. You felt uncomfortable. It drove you crazy. But you trusted God, and in the long run, you wind up becoming dear friends with that person. Or you learn so much in that situation, or you wind up being the one that God used in that situation. When you're dealing with difficult people, the first thing, two things. Number one, make sure it's not you being difficult and blaming everybody else. So a difficult person is not going to change, or unless they will change, but it takes a while. And so instead of them changing, they point to you. A toxic person is not going to change at all. Make sure it's not you. And number two, you can't change the difficult person. God has to. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everybody stand. Head bowed, eyes closed. Sometimes God puts difficult people in your path. Listen carefully. This is a big one. Sometimes God puts difficult people in your path because you're so distracted by everything else. You're really not seeing God. Nobody knows this, but y'all are the first ones to find out. I forgot to tell Linda. We were in Virginia, and I was looking at a scripture. So I had a Bible open and my Bible app open, and I was going to go get some more juice. And so I had my Bible app open. Here it is. I have my Bible app open. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going to get the juice. And there's a big double door. I see myself going through the double door right there to go get the juice. And while I'm looking down reading it, because I'm distracted, I veer to the right, and I run right into the wall. I mean, head first, I'm looking down, my head hits the wall, it goes boom. And I turned around to see if I lost any cool points. But everybody else was so distracted, they didn't even see me. If you're not careful when you come to church, you get so distracted. You get up here and say, I'm going to use this as a Bible. And next thing you know, you're watching Facebook and you're playing games. Doing all kinds of things. You're so distracted that you don't hear what's going on around you. And then your life is in shambles already. But when you go out, all the stuff that was there to build you up for next week is no good to you. And you walk out and say, I didn't get fed a bit. That's because you were distracted. Sometimes God puts difficult people in your life to remove distractions. We get comfortable in our distractions. So God says, here's your difficult person. You're welcome. Here's your sandpaper. You're welcome. Going to get you some Kleenex because they're going to aggravate the snot out of you. You're welcome. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor, I'm really having a hard time with people. And until today, I always thought it was them. But after today, I realized it may just be me. If you got a problem with one person, it's a good chance it's them. If you have a problem with 25 people, it's a good chance it's you. He said, Pastor, I really want the situation to change. Well, then let God do His work. Let Him do the sandpaper. Go ahead and let Him do the sandpaper. Go ahead and let Him do what He's going to do. And trust Him. He knows what He's doing. So, is anybody here, number one, either you don't have that relationship with God that you need, or because of the difficult people, you let them push you and probe you until you have strayed away from God. When nobody's looking around, would you slip up that hand and say, pray for me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and now that you know sometimes the difficult people are actually mirrors for you to see yourself, and you don't like what you see, maybe it's because God's saying, I need to do work in you. I just want to know right now with hands up, if you happen to see, if God happens to show you you, are you willing? Are you willing to let God sandpaper the rough edges? And are you willing to let God do what? Put your hands up. I'm willing to let God work on me. I'm willing. I'm willing. Good, 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 good. Let's all pray this together. Father, I rededicate my life and purpose to you. I trust you 100%. I'm glad to know that sometimes you use difficult people to show me, me. Now, God, help me to give me to you to do your work. And I thank you for it. God, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You got this. We trust you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Isn't God good? Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. And after we say the Lord's Prayer together, hold it a second. After we say the Lord's Prayer together, Benny, I want you to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who brought us here? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.